Welcome to Walking in Truth, the Bible teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel of Grace and Truth with Pastor Johnny Zacchio. Please join us now as we study God's Word.
You know where Jesus talks about, oh ye of little faith? I remember Bobby said to me last week, he's like, we're going to have to put out more chairs. And this is, I'm like, Bobby, there's going to be five of us here, you know? It'll be me, you, Elise, my wife and kids and, you know, whatever. Praise the Lord. But praise God, man. Good to see you guys. Yeah, amen. We haven't been up here on a Sunday in over a month, so it's been like weird. So, but God is so good. You know, I'm still learning, guys. Pray for me. I'm like, you know, we were thinking about canceling and everything. You know, it's crazy how many churches aren't having service today. And you know, but you know, I know it's not. You know, the thing about us is we're free from, like, guilt, you know? Some denominations, they make you feel guilty. Like, we're free in Christ. So we're like, hey, if you want to stay home, stay home. If you want to come out, come out. But I'm just so thankful that you guys are here, and we're here to celebrate a very special birthday. Amen? Amen. You know, the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What a wonderful day. So just by way of announcements real quickly, Tuesday night we have men's prayer, guys. We'll be here in the facility at 7:30 p.m. If you gentlemen want to join us in prayer, I encourage you to do so. If you have any prayer requests and praise reports, I'm sorry? You want to? It's up to you. You don't have to. Yeah? We could bring some more chairs. Let's have Bill bring out another row of chairs. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Steve. Bob, you're right. Bob is a prophet. Hey, Ma. Wow. And well, I'll continue with the announcements while they get the seats. Okay, so Tuesday we got prayer. Wow, there's a lot of seats. My goodness. You know what? Should we? Yes.
Yeah, we should go downstairs.
Yeah, right? Should we maybe move the back table out and just put a row of chairs there? Hold on. We can. Okay, there we go. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I got rebuked today, didn't I? There's a couple of seats. There's three seats up here. There's two seats over here. So, yeah. Oh, that's right. There's one seat there. Oh, thanks, Mark. Beautiful. Thank you, guys. There we go. Great. Wow. I think now we're in like in a fire hazard right now, probably. So, huh? No, well, they won't be up here. Can we all fit? Wow. Okay. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise.
Huh? The fellowship's already done.
I know. I'm like shocked. All right, there's a few chairs up here, guys. There's one. There's three up here, guys. Come on up. No, that's fine. It's okay. Let them all sit in. Let mommy sit in. There you go. Wow, look at this. Great. All right. There's two up here. Hun. There's one over here, too. There's two over here.
This is definitely a fire hazard.
Yeah, this is definitely a fire hazard. You know what? That's a good idea. Steve, you want to do me a favor? Take those two chairs and just put them, like, on the side over there, I guess, in case anyone comes in last minute. Then they're going to get the front row seats. Yeah, I know. This is crazy. Wow. All right, good. I think we're all here now. Yeah, this is crazy. I should, right? All right, so announcements. Tuesday night, men's prayer. Wednesday night, we will have a midweek Bible study, 7:30 p.m. here in the facility. New Year's Day service, we will be downstairs, full service, child care, the whole nine yards. I really encourage you to come out. The Lord's given me a special message for New Year's Day. And, you know, new year, new beginnings, you know, exciting times. Any upcoming events that I could think of? Nothing I could think of off the top of my head. So check the calendar, check the website. Moms in Touch has been canceled until January. And I think that's about it. Actually, I believe today marks a year anniversary that we're on 570 AM. Isn't that crazy? A year anniversary that we're on the air. And actually, today's broadcast, we're giving out a free teaching of last year's Christmas message entitled "The Gift We All Need." So you can encourage your family and friends if they want something for free. They could tune in today and then call in. But great things, you know. So did you guys all like open up your gifts and stuff? And
no,
praise God. Cool. Not yet? Okay. I'm shocked that you guys are here. Well, you know, praise the Lord. Anyone need a Bible? Real quick. Anyone need a Bible? We got one back here, two back there. Great. Great. All right. Okay. Oh. Wow, look at this. Any more? Okay, no more. Lisa, there's a couple up here. Yep. All right. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas, Lisa. How are you? Praise report. Our young brother Christian is back home. Thank you for your prayers. Keep him in prayer, please. Keep Louie and Rita, Mark, the family in prayer as well. Christian goes in for an MRI on the 30th of this month to see what's going on, so let's keep that in prayer as well. Our brother Bob, he's here. He hobbled in on his crutches, so we got a real-life Tiny Tim back there. You know? And keep him in prayer. He's going in for an MRI, and, you know, anyone that needs a touch or just, you know, something from the Lord. Jeanette is here. Yes. Thank God for Jeanette. She's been suffering with seizures as well, so please keep Jeanette in prayer as well. A lot of things going on, crazy things that have been taking place in the body, people sick and getting hurt, but that's life, I guess, right? Well, Matthew, if you have your Bible, turn with me, please, to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. We'll pick up at verse 18, and we're going to read through chapter 2 to verse 11. And it says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' So all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, 'Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which is translated, 'God with us.' Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it was written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also.' When they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh." Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for this wonderful day where we celebrate your birth, the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, knowing that you had no beginning and no end. You always were. You always will be. You are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Yet you left the glories of heaven, Lord. And you came and you dwelt among us. You became poor so that through your poverty we might become rich. You humbled yourself and came in the form of man, the God-man. And I think of how the Apostle John there said the word became flesh and dwelt among us. Lord, all the while coming so that we may have salvation, so that we may be forgiven of our sins. Thank you for that gift, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Oh, come, let us adore him. That great song we sing at Christmas time. The desire of our hearts is that we would adore the Lord, that we would worship the Lord. That's what the word adore literally means, to worship him. Oh, come, let us worship him. And I pray that this morning and this day, our hearts will be turned toward him and that we will truly worship Jesus in a greater and deeper and more special way this day, and that it will continue on throughout the year and every day of our lives. And as we read this account, such a familiar account, something that perhaps you've read for years and years, something that perhaps maybe you heard for the first time. Maybe you've gone and saw this at a play in school or at church, but it's so special. Remember, this is God's word, and this is proclaiming to us our King, our Savior that was born. And the first thing I want us to take note of is that the birth of Jesus was prophetic. It was spoken of thousands of years ago from the beginning there in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. It makes mention of the seed of the woman, that the Messiah would come through the seed of the woman. Now, we know that a woman does not have a seed. The man has a seed. A woman has an egg, right? But it was prophetic right there all the way back in Genesis chapter 3 that the Messiah would come. And it was prophesied 650 years earlier through the prophet Isaiah that there would be a sign to look for, that there would be a sign to be given of where the Messiah would come from, who would give birth to him. Isaiah 7, verse 14, it says there, right? "And behold, a virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated God with us. 650 years prior to his birth, it was prophesied there in Isaiah. The importance of the virgin birth. We need to know what the significance of it is. You see, Jesus was a very common name. It was like John or Bob or Bill. There was nothing really special about that name per se, but it was important that this boy Jesus be born of a virgin. You see, in order for Christ, our Savior, to be the Messiah, there were three conditions that had to be met. Number one, he must first be a man, obviously. You see, an angel could not die for us. No one else could die for our sins. He had to be human. That was number one. But not only that, number two, he had to be a divine man. You see, a mere human being could not pay the price that must be paid for the forgiveness of our sins. So not only was Jesus a man, but he was God in human flesh. He was the God-man. So he was human and he was divine at the same time. And number three, he had to be a sinless man. You see, a sinner could not die for the sins of others. And we know that Jesus, because of the virgin birth, met all those three requirements, and he was, in fact, sinless. You see, this virgin birth guarantees that Jesus fulfilled all these three conditions. Because he was born of Mary, he was fully human. Because he was conceived by the Holy Spirit, he is fully God. Because he was born holy, he is sinless in deed, word, and thought. Thus, he alone is fully qualified to be the Savior of the world. The significance of his name. You see there in verse 21 and verse 23 of Matthew 1 there, that his name was to be called Jesus. Now, in this day, the firstborn male would usually take on the name of his father. But the angel came to Joseph and said, no, you're going to name him Jesus. His name means God is salvation, Yeshua. Jehovah is salvation, Savior. But he would be called, notice there, verse 23, Emmanuel, which is when translated God with us. Very special, very important. You see, Jesus is what he does. He saves people of their sins. He's a Savior. But Emmanuel is what he is. He is God with us. You see, he's not afar off. He's very personal. He's there with us. He's in us. He works through us. He is Emmanuel. It was prophesied some almost 700 years earlier in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, where the Messiah would be born. And what's interesting is that in ancient writings, Jewish writings from the Talmud, they mentioned this some 1,600 years earlier. So the rabbis and the those who wrote in the Talmud there had mentioned that 1,600 years later, earlier, that the Messiah would be born there in Bethlehem. You see, Jesus was from Nazareth, but he was born in Bethlehem. And Nazareth was not a great place to grow up. Nazareth was not known for good things, nor was Bethlehem. Both tiny places, Bethlehem, maybe a population of, say 5,000 to 7,000 people. And I love just the way Jesus can relate to every single person. He came and left the glories of heaven. He was born in a manger. You may know the story there in Luke, the manger, that cave where animals were stored and fed. Not a very glorious place for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to come and be born. Yet, this is where he was born. It was also prophesied that the Messiah would come from the tribe of Judah. In Genesis chapter 49, verse 10, it says there that the scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he comes to whom it belongs, and the obedience of the nations is his. It was also prophesied that the Messiah would come from the line of David, there in Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 5. It says there that the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up to David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In addition to these prophecies, Jesus fulfilled hundreds of other prophecies by his birth alone. Just by Jesus' birth, he fulfilled hundreds of prophecies. Well, between chapter 1 of Matthew and chapter 2, almost a year and a half goes by. Now, Luke recalls for us that as the angel appears to the shepherds there in the field and they get that great news, the gospel, behold, I bring to you good news, you know, of great tidings and great joy. You know, there is born to us a Savior, Christ the Lord. And they go out and they see this baby there in the manger and they're rejoicing. A year and a half goes by. Jesus is not in the manger anymore. He's not a little baby. And it says here in chapter 2 of Matthew, now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men came from the east. They came to Jerusalem. Now, Herod, those of you who may know about this guy Herod, Herod the Great, he was not a great man by any means. The whole family, they were just a wicked and bloodthirsty family, just blood all over their hands. Herod was a little guy with a huge ego. He built great and magnificent structures. He built a great temple there, but he did not have any desire to worship Jesus. He did not want to lose his appointed position as king in Jerusalem because he was not the true king. Well, he's there on the throne, so to speak, in Jerusalem, and these wise men come from the east, from Persia. And they know that there's this star, and they're following it there. And they come there, and they say to King Herod, where is he who was born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him. Oh, come, let us adore him, right? They've come to worship the King of Kings. Now, these wise men, you know, tradition has mistakenly always said to us that there were three of them. Now, most likely, there was a lot more than three wise men on this journey. Most say, believe it or not, that they may have traveled in a group of maybe 100 or more. And you see, these wise men, they were magi. They were really astronomers. They studied the stars. They studied astrology. They were scientists in their own right. In that day. Actually, there in Daniel chapter 2, it makes mention of these same types of people who study the stars. These were these guys, these wise men, these magi. They were extremely intelligent and extremely prominent people of this day in culture. We could liken these wise men to people perhaps that work for NASA today. Extremely intelligent, right? They study outer space. They know what's going on. Or let's say people that work for the Apple Corporation and the late Steve Jobs and people of that nature or Microsoft or any type of company like this where they got these brainiacs and these really prominent people, right? These were the wise men. They traveled with a very large entourage and they're making their way. It says, most scholars believe several to 9 months, to perhaps a year for them to travel from Persia all the way to Jerusalem. And these ancient scientists were on an important mission. They probably had been aware of the prophetic significance of their times by the prophecies of Daniel, there in chapter 2, and other Old Testament prophets. And there in Numbers, chapter 24, verses 15 through 17, I'll read it to you. You could jot it down. But a very interesting prophecy was given through Balaam, of all people. You may know that story. But it says there, so he took up his oracle and said, the utterance of Balaam, the son of Beor, and the utterance of the man whose eyes are opened, the utterance of him who hears the words of God and has the knowledge of the Most High, who sees the vision of the Almighty, who falls down with eyes wide open, says, I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob. A scepter shall rise out of Israel. You see, and this star was prophetic of this very star that God brought to guide these wise men. Now, a lot of people speculate about this star over the years. Was it a literal star? Was it Mars and Pluto combined together? This was a divine star that God gave to these men because they had a heart to worship the Lord. They were seeking after the Lord, and so the Lord, like he always does, led and guided these men to the Lord. Jewish tradition claims that Daniel himself, as an official of the Persian government, founded this order of Magi that these men, these wise men, came from, and had instructed them to watch for the Messiah throughout the generations. This shows us that the whole world was looking for the Messiah, not only Israel. These men knew that it was wise to worship the Lord. They were wise men. And the same holds true for us today. It is wise for us to worship Jesus. And in worshiping Jesus, we will become wise. You see, these men were looking, they were watching, they were waiting. Well, let's continue reading here. So they come to King Herod, and when Herod heard this verse 3, he was troubled. He doesn't want to lose his position. He doesn't want to be dethroned. They come and they say, this entourage, think about it. All these guys come. Hey, we've come to worship the king that was to be born. And when he heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And you know what's sad about this is that they should have known. They should have known that this day was coming. They should have known their own scriptures. They should have known the prophecies. And they were troubled by it. Herod was troubled by it. He was threatened by it. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. You see, they had to dig up and go through the scriptures and say, yes, that's right. It said that in Bethlehem, this child would be born, this Savior would come, the Messiah would come in the land of Bethlehem. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also. Now we know that Herod had no desire whatsoever to worship Jesus. He rather wanted to murder him and put him away so that his throne, so that his kingdom would not be touched, would not be removed. And it's so sad because the wise men come and they say, we've come to worship him. Herod says, hey, I want to come and I want to worship him also. But you see, worship was on his lips, but hatred and murder was in his heart. Huge difference. And when they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. So imagine this. They're traveling several months, maybe a year, and this star just faithfully guides them as they continue looking up, as they continue searching out. And then it rests right there upon the house where Jesus was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And as we come to worship the Lord, that's what the Lord does in our hearts. That's what he produces in our lives, exceedingly great joy. You see, the Bible tells us if we draw near to him, he will draw near to us, right? Think about it. These guys simply going by the prophetic word of God, simply going by this star, traveling for months. And lo and behold, because God never fails, he brings them right to where they're supposed to be. And he's producing in them exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. I love that. Notice they didn't worship Mary. They fell down and they worshiped Jesus. Mary herself in Luke would write her Magnificat and say, I rejoice in my Savior. She worshiped her son, the Messiah, Christ the Lord. They come and they bow down. They worship the Lord. They fall down. They humble themselves. And that's the greatest place to be. When we humble ourselves before the presence of Almighty God, when we come before Jesus and we just simply bow down to him and bring him that offering of worship. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. These gifts are very significant because you see, gold represents royalty. He is the King of Kings, right? Frankincense represented the priesthood. He is the Lord of Lords. And myrrh represented death, the spices that would be used to embalm the dead. You see, Jesus came as the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and he came to save us of our sins, to save the world of their sins. Isn't that amazing? All these three gifts, prophetic as well, and pointed to what Jesus came to give us. That wonderful gift of salvation. It is wise to worship the Lord. There are some insights that I want us to take note of in our text this morning. You see, these wise men, they were waiting upon the prophecies of Scripture. They had the Word of God. They had the Scriptures. You see, all of Jerusalem had it. All the religious leaders of this day had it, but they did not take heed to it. They did not believe it. You see, they were waiting upon the Word of God. And when we wait upon the Word of God, the promises of God, God is faithful. He always comes through. And as they saw that star that was mentioned in Numbers, that was mentioned in Daniel, perhaps in the other prophecies, they said, guys, remember, we've been waiting for this. You see, that's number one. They were waiting upon the prophecies of Scripture. Number two, they were watching for the fulfillment of them to take place. They were watching and they were waiting. And they saw the fulfillment right before their eyes. Number three, they were worshiping him in private already. You see, before they came and sought after him and saw him in that house and bowed down and worshiped him, face to face, they were already worshiping him in their hearts. They said, this is the King of Kings. This is the one we're waiting for. This is the one we're watching for. Let us come and worship him. Let us come and adore him. You see, it was already happening in their hearts, though. These guys didn't need any gifts. They didn't need anything. They didn't come to worship Jesus for what they could get from him or take out of him or receive there. They came to give. They came to give of their hearts to worship the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They were worshiping him in private and seeking to worship him in person. You see? What I see in this text also here that there are three different responses to Jesus, and all people respond in one of these three ways still today. We see Herod, who displayed an open hatred and hostility toward Jesus. Notice he said, I want to go worship him too. But he had no desire to worship him. Again, worship was on his lips, but hatred and murder was in his heart. We see that open hatred and hostility through Herod. Number two, we see the chief priests and the scribes were content to keep their religious traditions and outward appearance of being worshipers, yet did not have a true relationship with Jesus Christ. They should have known of his birth through the Scriptures. They should have known the prophecies also. They should have been watching and should have been ready as well for the birth of their Savior. But they were not worshiping the Lord. You see, they had the religious appearance. They knew the Scriptures even. But they were not worshipers in the true sense of the word. They did not have a true saving faith in Jesus Christ. And number three, we see the wise men. These wise men knew the scriptures, but not only did they know the scriptures, they believed the scriptures and therefore sought out Jesus and worshiped him, even at a great cost to them. They had to travel many miles to get to him. What if that star was not the star? They would have said, this travel was in vain. But they knew the scriptures, they believed them, and they gave of their lives. They offered that offering of worship, and they came and they bowed down. It cost them something greatly, but the reward is eternal. Well, the same is true today. As we see these things in our text, and we can relate these to us today, our world, our government, our society, for the most part, is displaying an open hatred and hostility toward Jesus. And it's going to get worse. Do you not see that with me? I mean, over the past several years, there has been a hostility toward Christmas. But I'll tell you the truth, I have not seen it so bad as I did this year. Last year was pretty bad, but this year especially, I can't tell you how many people said to me at work, Merry Christmas, and then they stopped in their tracks and said, oh my God, I'm so sorry, Happy Holidays. And I'm like, no, it's okay, you can say Merry Christmas. You know, don't mention Christmas, don't say Christmas tree, don't say Jesus. Well, we see that same thing happening today. It was not politically correct for these wise men to go and worship Jesus openly and proclaim his name publicly, but they did, and we need to do the same thing, even in the midst of the hostility around us. We see the same thing true today, just like the religious leaders of that day. There are people who are content today to hold to their religious traditions and will sacrifice twice a year to come to church, yet have no desire to worship Jesus, nor do they have a true saving faith in him. You know, hey, it's Christmas, gotta go to church. It's Easter, we gotta go to church, right? You know, we want to decorate the building and have the beautiful garb to go with it and all those things, the outward. But the inward, the most important thing, is missing. And number three, then there are those who are wise, whom God reached out to and whom have received the gift of salvation and are worshipers of Jesus and have a true relationship with Jesus. Thank God for that. Those of us in this room who know Jesus Christ as our Savior and our Lord, we are wise men and women. It is wise to worship the Lord. You see, thank God for that. Well, what is worship? Okay, let's come and let us adore him. Let us worship him. What is it? Are we just popping a CD? We sing some worship songs. We come here and we gather and we worship and clap. That's got something to do with it. But literally, it means in the Greek to turn and kiss toward God. That's what the word worship means. To blow a kiss toward the Lord. It's loving affection. Holy reverence. It's surrender of our will to his. That's what worship is in a nutshell. We could go on for many studies talking about worship, and we will one day, Lord willing. But in a nutshell, just to get a grasp of it, it's our loving affection toward God, and it starts in our heart. You see, when we're worshiping the Lord in our hearts, it will manifest itself outwardly through song, through religious works, even through other things, our service unto the Lord. But it starts with a loving affection for the Lord. It starts with us reverencing him in a holy and respectful way. It's our surrendering of our will to his. Not being like Herod and saying, no, I'm concerned about my kingdom and my throne. No, Lord, I want to be concerned about your kingdom. How you left your throne to come down and dwell among us. Well, Jesus would tell us that the Father seeks such to worship him in spirit and in truth. You see, worship of God comes from our spirit, that which will be with him for eternity. And it starts through the truth of the scriptures, as God prescribes to us what worship is. I like what A.W. Tozer says in his book, Whatever Happened to Worship. he said the following about worship. He says, I am of the opinion that we should not be concerned about working for God until we have learned the meaning and delight of worshiping him. A worshiper can work with eternal quality in his work, but a worker who does not worship is only piling up wood, hay, and stubble for the time when God sets the world on fire. God is trying to call us back to that for which he created us, to worship him and enjoy him forever. Tozer goes on to further state of worship, if we are truly among the worshipers, we will not be spending our time with carnal or worldly religious projects. I can safely say on the authority of all that is revealed in the Word of God that any man or woman on this earth who is bored and turned off by worship is not ready for heaven. That's a pretty heavy statement. See, because we're going to be worshiping him for all eternity. And if we have no desire to worship him now, we're going to be very bored. we're not going to be prepared. But you see, worship is more than just mere music and the things that we do in our worship. You see, worship is a way of life. It is an essential aspect of our walk with the Lord. True Christians truly worship. True Christians worship according to the truth of God's word. I like that. Oh, come and let us adore him. Come, let us worship him. What I also see in this text, though, is that this is also a good word for us who are awaiting not his first coming, but his second coming. You see, just like these wise men knew that his first coming was near, we as wise men and women today, we know that we are awaiting the second coming of Christ, and he is coming soon. We don't know the day or the hour. And I notice some people are getting freaked out because 2012 is around the corner next week, and they're thinking the Mayan calendar and all these things. That is nonsense. Can he come back in 2012? Absolutely. He could come back 2 minutes from now. He could come back 2,000 years from now. But are we ready? Are we likewise waiting for the prophecies to be fulfilled? Just like these wise men who knew the prophecies and were waiting upon them. Are we awaiting these things? We also have the signs to be watching for. You see, the Word of God tells us, Jesus said, when you see these things happening, when you see these things taking place, know that the time is near. You see, we also have the signs to be watching for. And we, number three, have the privilege, honor, and duty to be worshiping him now so that we will be ready to worship him face to face, just like the wise men. They were awaiting the prophecies to be fulfilled. They were watching for the signs of his coming, and they were worshiping him in private so that they could worship him in public one day. We likewise, saints, have the same exact scenario. Only we're a couple thousand years later. We're awaiting these things. It's great news. Jesus brings exceedingly great joy. Right? Behold, I bring to you glad tidings of great joy, right? Today has been born to us a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And we know that right now he's no longer in a house. He's no longer in a manger. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. He's praying for us, and he's waiting to come back, and he is coming soon. And in the meantime, I would encourage us to come and adore him this day. But not just today, not just Christmas, not just Easter, but every single day of our lives, God gives us the privilege and the honor to worship him. May it be in such a wonderful and real way today, but may it travel not just from today, but every single day of our lives. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the joy that he brings into our lives, for the peace that he gives to us, for our salvation. And Lord, we thank you that you've left us your holy and perfect word. We thank you that you've given us the prophecies to be waiting for. We thank you that you even give us those outward signs to be watching for. And Lord, we thank you for the privilege and honor and duty that we have to be worshipers in the meantime, so that when we see you that day, whether you come to get us or we go to be with you, Lord, we are prepared. We are already worshiping you now, so that when we get to be in eternity with you, it just continues. There's no skip in the beat. There's just a constant burning desire in our hearts to worship you, to love you, to surrender our wills to you, Lord. We love you, we praise you, and we thank you. And we just rejoice and we celebrate your birth. We say happy birthday to you, Lord Jesus, this day. And we thank you for the gift of life that you've given to us. Through your sacrifice, Lord, we've been given eternal life. There is no greater gift than that. We thank you, we praise you, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Tune in next week as we continue our journey of walking in truth with Pastor Johnny Zacchio of Calvary Chapel of Grace and Truth, located at 1373 Nepperhan Avenue in Yonkers, New York. For more information, call the church at 914-410-4830 or visit them on the web at calvarychapelofgraceandtruth.org.